Hello and welcome to Crushing Deals with Spencer Kula. Remember, on this podcast, we don't just crush deals, we are deal crushers. I am here with assistant professor Jeffrey Boychuk at the McIntyre School of Commerce. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Spencer. Thank you.
Yeah, so Jeff is a good friend of mine and also a former professor of mine. I had him about a year ago. In the spring, Jeff, can you tell me just a little about your educational background and how you got to where you are right now?
Sure, yeah. So I grew up in Canada, did an undergraduate and master's degree in marketing at a school called Brock University. Went from there to the University of Houston, did a PhD in marketing, then did a postdoc at Darden, and now I'm here as an assistant professor at the McIntyre School of Commerce. It's part of the University of Virginia.
Mm-hmm. So what are kind of the courses that you've generally been teaching?
Sure. So I taught in my first semester here a course called Creating Value in B2B Markets, which was pretty much a sales course. I also teach a class called Customer Analytics, which is all about how you can use customer-generated data to make decisions in business, whether it be segmenting decisions or pricing decisions or what product you'll create, just making data-driven decisions. And I still teach that course. And then I had the pleasure of teaching in the ICE program this past fall and really enjoyed that. So I taught an intro to marketing course.
Now, what is the ICE program, just for people who aren't familiar with McIntyre's format?
Sure thing. So it's something that we're very well known for. It's called the Integrated Core Experience. And what we do is I was part of a faculty team of seven different professors across finance, marketing, organizational behavior, quantitative analysis, and some other subjects. And we teach the students in an integrated fashion so that they're learning how everything comes together and how businesses aren't just made up of silos, but it's all about collaboration across functions to really lead to commercial success. And so I taught the intro to marketing portion of that core experience that our students go through.
Yeah, I for my master's in commerce program, I went through a very similar experience. And I can tell you that it is both very, very interesting to see how all the different areas of business work together, and very difficult because there are quite a few projects. And both that first semester for the master's program and the third year for the undergraduate students are known as some of the most grueling semesters for the students. But so I was in Jeff's Creating Value in Business-to-Business Markets, which was named as such because you can't really just name a class the sales course.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we kind of talk about is how there's kind of a stigma surrounding the word sales. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So it's a dirty word, going back to famous movies in the 80s, the idea of always be closing and not really having an understanding of what that truly means if you want to be customer-oriented in your business approach. So people think of used car salesmen, they think of telemarketers, they think of people that are pestering them while they're trying to have dinner with their families, and it rubs people the wrong way. But what sales truly is the revenue-generating function of an organization and the eyes and ears of the company, the idea of how do you get outside of your bubble of employees, learn what outside constituents want and need, and then be able to tailor your product to solve those problems. And that's truly what sales is all about. So, yep.
Yeah, well, kind of two thoughts with that. It's interesting your use of the word pestering, because kind of in my view, to be a successful salesman, it's about building the relationships with the person you're trying to sell to. It's not about, you know, browbeating them into buying your product or whatever, because you're not really going to get much return. Many people returning to purchase, so.
Exactly.
But I was wondering, so do you get your coffee if you're always closing? Because you know that only closers get coffee. Only deal crushers get coffee. So how do you teach kids who, by their nature, they think sales is a bad thing? How do you kind of teach them that this is a vital part of business? And whether you're in a sales department or, even a consultant or anything, you're going to have to sell somebody something at some point.
Yeah, great question. So I go back to the definition of marketing, and marketing, which is the broader discipline of sales, has the same issue where people talk about marketing schemes. They often deem marketing as being sort of this cheap function within the organization. They see it as an expense rather as an investment. Mm-hmm. And I look back to a famous article that was published in the early 90s, on what the definition of a market-oriented company is. And mm-hmm. if you think of companies as information processing units, mm-hmm. What a market-oriented company does, and this spreads across all the different functions, is they do three activities. First, they generate market intelligence about external constituents such as customers, competitors, government regulations, and what the newest advances in technology are. So they get this information from the external environment. They get outside of the bubble of the organization to learn about the environment, the external environment within which a company operates. With this information, they disseminate it among the employees, and market-oriented companies come to a consensus on what the truth is about the external environment. Mm-hmm. And with that truth in mind, they're able to respond. And that's the third activity. After generating and disseminating market intelligence, you respond to market intelligence. And you do so through setting, first through developing a product that solves the problems of customers in the market. And it needs to be set at a price that's value maximizing. So it must be what the customers are willing to pay. And that also needs to be something that's profitable to the company based on what competitors' prices are and what the costs of a product is. And then you have to set what your promotion strategy is going to be. So what are you going to say to the market that's going to get them to respond in the most favorable way and get them to purchase your product? And last is place. So how are you going to distribute your product? And now the big thing is omnichannel. So you have to bring your product to market through mobile, through online, through mm-hmm. Traditional brick and mortar, just wherever the customer wants to buy, you need to be there for them. So what marketing is and what sales is the communication function of the organization. You need to understand what your customers and other constituents want, and you need to be able to respond with that. It's really a beautiful discipline if you truly understand it and don't get caught up in what people's misperceptions are of the discipline.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the interesting thing in my opinion, is that people have these perceptions of sales and these perceptions of the marketing, at least people my age, and really it's just communication. Really, it's building relationships, finding out what the other person wants, and learning how to get them what they want in kind of a win-win situation. And that's something that is at the very basis of how business, at least in my opinion, should be conducted, is building that win-win of finding out what the other person wants, finding out what you want, and then finding out if that's a good match for that. And one of the most interesting aspects of sales, at least to me, is the idea that not everybody necessarily is a good target for your product. Is that, to be the most successful with your sales strategy or with your marketing strategy, you need to be very aware about the role that your product plays or service plays and who that appeals to. Because if you try to sell somebody who doesn't want to be sold on that product, it's going to feel like that person or that being obnoxious, CD salesman. But if you find a group that really like what you're trying to do and really like what you're trying to accomplish, then it can be a benefit for everybody.
Exactly. So that's the whole idea of segmentation, and mm-hmm. that comes in the market intelligence generation stage of becoming a market-oriented company. And so when you go out and you develop this intelligence and you generate it, you're going to find that it's not just a market of homogeneous consumers that all have the same preferences, and either they do or do not have a preference for your product. Mm-hmm. It's that some will have a preference and a need for it, and you'll be able to solve their problem, and others won't. Mm-hmm. So that's when companies come up with buyer personas, which are the most likely consumers. And buyer personas, what they allow companies to do is to talk about these different segments within their companies. So they may have a Pastor Pat. They may have, they just name these different types of customers, so then they can learn about what their wants and needs are better, and better communicate with each one another about what their wants and needs are. Yeah. So that's true. The whole idea of segmentation is crucial to marketing and to sales.
Yeah, that's, and I am a huge fan of buyer personas. Just for me, buyer personas are kind of at the core of what marketing should be, which is understanding the people that you're trying to market or sell to. I just, that seems to me to be the most vital part of a marketing or sales strategy, is because if you don't understand who you're trying to communicate with, you're not going to know how to communicate with them. You're not going to know what they're interested in, any of that.
What their goals are, exactly.
Yeah. So that takes it. So just, and I've talked with you about this a little bit, but to get into a little bit more about what my personal definition for marketing is
sure.
I look at marketing as finding out what people's rational self-interests are, figuring out a way to explain that, to reveal that to people, and then helping them act on that rational self-interest. So just in terms of marketing, maybe finding a product that I truly believe in, trying to communicate how it will genuinely help improve people's lives, and then convince them to act on what I believe to be their rational self-interest. And I think that a lot of that is very similar with actually what it means to be a professor and kind of helping students realize, you know, what their strengths are, what they're good at, and how to spend their time basically in the best ways possible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's kind of how you view, but what's kind of your view of teaching, and how do you see kind of the analogies between that and what we're talking about in terms of communication and interaction?
Yeah, sure. And I'll just comment first on your definition of marketing. And I think it's a really good one, mm-hmm. because that's what it's all about. It's trying to figure out what the rational self-interest is of an individual. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to figure that information out if you haven't first developed trust. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You're someone who I'd feel comfortable with sharing my future financial goals and stuff mm-hmm. like that, no matter what industry we're talking about, because we've developed a relationship.
Yep.
But if someone comes to me and says that they're part of this big company that helps people, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me, because I'm not willing at that point to share what my personal information is with that individual. So first, developing trust, and you do so. Social psychologists have determined through lots and lots of research that there are these two drivers of an initial impression, and it's warmth and competence. Mm-hmm. So if I don't think that you have my best interest in heart, so if I don't think you're a friend rather than a foe, that's the warmth that I mentioned, I'm not going to share with you what my rational self-interest is. Mm-hmm. Plus, if I don't think that you're competent, if I don't think that you could help me fulfill my goals, mm-hmm. if I were to tell you, then I'm also not going to share anything with you. So sellers and marketers and companies need to first get right this warmth and competence dimension in order to understand what their customers and learn what their customers' self-interest is and what they truly want. Then with that information, you can sell a product to them. And so much of marketing is, since there's so many consumers out there, it's figuring out which consumers are closest to the decision to buy. Mm-hmm. Because it takes a long time to develop that trust with customers on an individual basis. So that's where things like inbound marketing comes in, where mm-hmm. you develop rich content and you put that out there so that when customers are looking to purchase your product, so they're in that stage of the buying process where they're considering alternatives, they come across your content, and then they'll get that competence component that, yes, you do know what you're talking about. So then all of a sudden, you're segmenting customers on where they are in the buying process, and then they mm-hmm. come to you. So many students don't understand that that's what the 21st century sales position will be like. It will be about helping those consumers at the last stage of their buying process convert and go with your company because they truly trust that you can help them.
Well, and that goes back to part of the curriculum actually for creating value in business markets was spin selling, which essentially involves asking four different types of questions to really get to the point. And now you have a much stronger grasp on this than I do, but to get to the point of where, you know, what the customer's needs are, just kind of taking them through the thought process of, okay, you know, what are the problems? What are the four categories again?
Sure. So when you're first qualifying a buyer to understand whether they could use your product or not, the first thing is you need to understand what their situation is. So you're going to be able to get a lot of that information online since people leave these digital footprints now. So you're going to be able to learn a lot about a prospect, but you still need to go through that stage of the process of asking about their situation, because through genuinely being curious about someone, you develop rapport and you develop trust. So the first part of the process is called situation, and that's the S in the spin. Then after you've had an initial conversation with a prospect, you can begin to ask about what problems or challenges they may have. And some of those may have come up when they're first describing their situation. And then you just ask a little bit more about those. And once they themselves have offered that they have these problems or challenges, you can begin to ask about what the implications are of those problems in their lives. And that's the eye of the spin. And this gets people to think and have sort of difficult, just ponder over difficult concepts in many situations, like financial services and stuff that people just don't do on their own. Inertia and the status quo often keeps people just comfortable with what their current situation is. But if at this point you're a trusted seller and you can ask questions about what the implications are of their current savings plan, then you can get them in their own terms saying what would happen if they didn't make a change today. And often those are sort of dire circumstances. So that's where the N comes into play, and that's called needs payoff. So you, at that point, and this is before you've even pitched your product, you begin to ask them of what happens if they were to change their saving habits in this example. What would the payoff of that be? And then they start saying, oh, well, heck, I'd be able to retire down in Florida like my mom is and be able to play golf all winter and this and that and the other. And then they start thinking rosy things. And then you ask them at that point, well, what if there were a solution? Would you be willing to hear about that today? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you've closed, if they say yes, you've closed on them wanting to hear your solution. Yeah. So you can take a sip of coffee at that point. You're slowly crushing in your words. So that's what sales is all about. It's all about, engendering trust throughout the process and truly being about the customer's needs and the customer's problems and being there to solve them with them.
Well, and one of the most vital parts of that, at least to me, is the fact that if you notice, Jeff said after you've gone through the spin process is when you start to tell about your product. You don't lead with the product. You have to build the trust that you're talking about, the trust and the competence that, oh, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. Wow, he actually does care about what happens to me, which, you know, if you're a good marketer or salesman, you should be interested in how to fix this person's problems and then how to go from there. But this is where I kind of want to get into your idea of infinite X, because the sales process, like we've kind of said, the sales process is really just relationship building. And that's important for selling a product, but it's also important in building and fostering relationships kind of as a part of your professional career.
Yeah, exactly. So in the course that I taught Spencer, I charged students with the challenge of reaching out to someone whom they really look up to and whom is leading a career that they would themselves want to get into ten years from after graduation, and to develop a relationship with that person in order to have them as a mentor. So this is something that is getting you out of your comfort zone. It is something that as a student seems like a process that those who are in their career wouldn't want to help you out with. So in it and of itself, it takes a lot of leadership to help students get and go down that path. You need to provide a whole lot of scaffolding to help them know, okay, who would I even want to reach out to? What characteristics may this person have? So some characteristics may be that person is someone that is well-respected in their community, in their company, and around the community again. This is someone who has accolades. This is someone who takes a personal desire in giving back and in developing their direct reports. This is someone who, in the best case scenario, has a position at their company that you could potentially fill, because the best way to develop a relationship with someone is to work on a project jointly, because then your incentives are directly aligned. So the idea of Infinite X is something that Spencer and I developed after the class, and it's the idea that and this comes from a quote from a famous professor in marketing. His name is Jagdish Sheth, and he is at Emory University. And he has said, I'm just pulling it up here. He has said that if you take a grain of wheat and make a loaf of bread, the value add is 3 times. If you take a rough diamond and polish it, a good diamond cutter gets its brilliance and creates 10 to 15 times its value. However, if you take a human being, mentor, and nurture him or her, the value add is infinite. There is no upper limit of human potential. There is no resource as powerful as the human resource. Every ordinary person can become extraordinary. So this is something that I believe in, and it's the idea that we can all invest in our companies. We can invest in the products that we're selling. We can put time into projects, but putting time into another human being and developing them as a person is where you can get your deepest returns, which is infinite. So in the future, I would like to teach a course and have the project be inviting guests in the business world that are inspirational, and have the event termed Infinite X, and have it be something that students use as a way to develop a relationship, and have it be sort of like a platform on which, and the foundation on which, they can begin their relationship with a business professional, to begin a mentor. It really becomes a reason to begin the relationship, and that foundation on which from there you can develop the relationship further after knowing one another.
Well, and just to, after the creating value in business to business markets, I actually got in touch with a mentor for this this kind of process for Infinite X, and I've been talking with him for over a year now. I think it'll be a year in just a couple of days, and we'll talk once a month, and he's told me that I give him a lot of benefit because I can present ideas in a new perspective and give him a youthful perspective, and then he, you know, can teach me about his experiences and just kind of how to navigate the business world from a weathered and experienced point of view. But I think it's that quote's really interesting, and kind of the idea of Infinite X is really interesting, because you know the phrase, you can give a man a fish and he eats for a day, teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime, but you're almost teaching a man how to teach other people how to fish, if that makes sense. You're almost disseminating the mentorship process, teaching other people how to gain mentors, which going forward will make them want to give back afterwards. Because for you, a mentor is pretty important in your personal development, or in your professional development, right?
Yeah, and I like that perspective. What it really is encouraging and teaching the process of how to find a mentor, which isn't something that's easy. But it really, at its core, is a sales process. It's finding the right buyer, in mm-hmm. this case being a mentor, and you do so through learning about your external environment. And when you're a student, this is something you're doing through the recruiting process anyway. But it's the whole idea, and an SVP at LinkedIn, his name is Mike Gamson, says that when he went out on the market as a student, he was really trying to find a manager, not mm-hmm. a company. And this is something that I believe in fully, because you're going to be working for someone. And if that person sees you as a partner rather than as a direct report to delegate stuff to, all of a sudden you are mm-hmm. much more likely to advance in your career at a exponential rate. So what it is doing is it's teaching how to find these people. And I'm looking across at across the room at Ashley Vance's Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. It's the autobiography on Elon Musk. And this is something that he did to create his company. So Musk knew nothing about space travel. So, and after he got his millions from PayPal, what he did was he went to this academic group that met and held dinners and just discussed about scholarly things. And he gave them a $5,000 check. And all of a sudden, he was invited to the main table, and he just acted like a sponge in that moment. Mm-hmm. And through that, SpaceX came about. And throughout his career, he's always sought out people to learn from, and then he's acted as a sponge. So mm-hmm. this is a process of sales. He's selling himself, and he's trying to get others to donate their time to him and their expertise to him. Mm-hmm. So through doing that, you need to be perceived as being warm, be perceived mm-hmm. as being competent, and you need to be resilient, because you're not going to get yeses from the first people. Mm-hmm. And the first people that you aren't necessarily going to be the right people. And that's what the first conversation is all about. It's, and mm-hmm. in sales, we call it the discovery call. And that's truly what it is. When you're going through the spin process, you're learning as much about the person as they are about you. And it may be that at the end of that conversation, you want to part ways, but it may also be that you want to learn more. And you do that through asking intelligent questions, through listening well, and through knowing how to respond. So you're right that what at the core of this is learning how to, and me trying to teach how you develop relationships. And this is something that mm-hmm. can lead to great companies like SpaceX and Tesla, as Elon Musk has done, but just in general, helping people reach their potential.
Great. Well, and I think the biggest takeaway from all this for all the budding marketers and sales or even entrepreneurs is that if you add X to whatever the name of your company is, it's going to be infinitely more successful. So SpaceX, Infinite X, just anything. I think the letter X is honestly the difference maker there.
Well, this is true.
Jeff, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the outlet.
Yeah.
Thanks for everyone's time.
Yeah, absolutely. And please feel free to subscribe, or if you want to hear and read more, go to my website, SpencerGulo.com. And keep driving those Miatas around. Thanks so much for listening.